please be turning in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15, and we'll be looking at the text there in verses 21 through 28. In many ways, mothers are unknown. They are in the background, they're working behind the scenes, never standing out. Their work is only recognized if they get sick or if they're not there and the rest of the family is left to fend for themselves. Mothers fulfill a unique role. There is a saying that seems to be going around our house right now, mostly by my girls, and it is, "Mommy is soft." And that usually winds up into the conversation when I'm about to do something, and it's, "No, Mommy is soft. I want Mommy to do it." And I think that came from a conversation or a comparison between Carla's lap and my lap. Her lap is soft, and my lap is apparently not. But we see that God designed mommies to be soft. He designed them in the way in which they talk that soothes. Mothers can heal that wound, that little boo-boo, with just a kiss. This morning, I want us to look to an unknown mother, but to see how she became known through what she did for her daughter. Mothers, I want you to think for just a moment. Imagine your child is suffering. They're suffering great pain from something that is beyond you. It's beyond any kind of physical cure. You have exhausted all of your efforts. The doctors have no answer for help for you. And then you hear about a man who has come into your area, who's been said that he can heal any kind of suffering. What do you do? Let's look to what this mother did. We see a mother who is filled with courage and determination. Courage is defined as mental or moral strength to venture, persevere, and withstand danger, fear, or difficulty. Now, moms face a lot of things that they are fearful of when it comes to their children. There may be women who are squeamish when it comes to blood, but if their child is hurt, they're right there to help. There may be women who have great fears of snakes and spiders and all sorts of things, reptilian. But when it comes to protecting their children, they have courage. This woman was no different. She had courage to seek the help of Jesus. I want you to notice her situation. She's a woman. And if we just look at that on the surface, we say, okay, well, what's so important about that? But in the culture of the day, women were seen almost as second-class citizens, as property. And so here comes this woman into a man's world. This is completely different from when Jairus would have asked for Jesus to help his daughter, or the centurion to come and help his slave. Here's a woman coming and asking for help. But she's not just a woman. She is a Canaanite. Mark's account gives us that she is a Syrophoenician woman, that she lives in the area of Phoenicia, which would be in the regions, the two cities of Tyre and Sidon. And Syro being Syria, so she's probably living on the border of Phoenicia and Syria. Now, Matthew gives the account that she is a Canaanite. Now, think about what that means. When the Jews went into the promised land, they were to wipe out everyone who was in the land of Canaan, the Canaanites. So she is a descendant of the enemies of the Jews. And now we see here is this enemy coming and asking for help from a Jew. She comes to the house without any invitation and makes her presence known. Jesus has come into this region not to continue to spread his word, if you will. He's come, as it says, to get away. He doesn't want his presence to be known here. But as is such the case, when you have someone as Jesus, word gets around. And so here this woman comes without invitation to this house. And what we see is that she is determined. Determined is a strong feeling that you are going to do something and that you will not allow anyone or anything to stop you. She asked Jesus for mercy for her daughter. We don't know her background, but I think it's safe to say that sin was in her life. And we could literally say that she had been a slave of Satan and the demons because of the demons that possessed her daughter. She's lived with this. And she comes and she asks for mercy. In asking for mercy, she is saying, please don't give me what I deserve. In her determination, she doesn't just ask this, but the text tells us that she cries out. She's going to be heard. Mark's account tells us that she kept asking for Jesus to cast the demon out of her daughter. She doesn't stop at one request. She's come into a house without invitation, and yet she's continuing to say, will you please cast this demon out of my daughter? Not once, not twice, but continually. And we see she was not overcome by insecurity. To her request, Jesus says nothing. Think about all the other times that we have in Scripture where people have come to Jesus and have asked of something of him, and he responds. Many times he responds in the positive and gives them what they want. Many times he says in a negative sense. But here he says nothing. Can you imagine if you're in that position? You keep asking, and they just say nothing. I would imagine that there would be some insecurity that would be building up within you. I shouldn't be here. I'm wasting my time. He's not going to help. I'm making a fool of myself. I mean, even the disciples are telling Jesus, hey, she's shouting at us. Will you please get her to leave? Can you imagine if you're that mom there? What's going through your mind? But she's not overcome by that. The reality is that rather than insecurity, she's coming to the one true place of security. We see that she is motivated by love. Jesus speaks now. He breaks his silence. And in verse 24, he says, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now here's this mother begging for her child. And the answer that Jesus gives is, I was sent to the lost house of Israel. He's saying that he's on a mission not to heal everyone. That while on earth, Jesus had specific and, shall we say, controversial things that he had to accomplish to bring about the kingdom of God.
He didn't come just to heal everybody physically.
And here he shows that his focus was to the Jews, to show them that their deliverance was at hand. But at the same time, he's testing this woman. We see in this woman's love for her daughter that she empathizes. Now, many people can sympathize. That they can feel a sense of pity or sorrow for someone else because of whatever situation they're going through. But love brings us to empathy. Love is the one thing that brings us to not just feel, but to identify with someone's pain or sorrow or difficulties. Notice what she says. Lord, help me. That's her response to what Jesus says, is I've come only to the lost house, to the lost sheep of Israel. And she says, Lord, help me. Lord, meaning there, the supreme in authority or controller, a sign of respect. She is recognizing you're in control. And I'm coming to you. Help is the idea of aid, succor. She's saying, I can't do it all. And she's acknowledging her inability to help her daughter. She needed help beyond herself. Help that only Jesus could provide. She says, Lord, help me. She could have just as easily said, Lord, please help my daughter. But she doesn't say that. She has identified, she has made her daughter's pain her own. And she came and becomes an intercessor between her daughter and Jesus. She became one with her daughter's pain and pleads for help from the only true source of help. Her love is shown in humility. The role of a mother has no place for self. And I don't say that as in, mothers, that's what you have to attain to. I'm saying that as a statement of fact, as in, that's just the way motherhood is. I mean, from the very beginning, when a child comes into this world, the mom is there from moment one, caring for this child. Whether it be feeding, wiping those noses, kissing those wounds, to washing sheets in the middle of the night because someone got sick. Moms are doing it. Someone once said it this way. What are mothers? Well, mothers are teachers. Mothers are disciplinarians. Mothers are cleaning ladies. Some mothers are gardeners and mowers of lawns. Mothers are nurses and doctors and psychologists and counselors and chauffeurs and coaches. Mothers are developers of personalities, molders of vocabularies, and shapers of attitudes. Mothers are soft voices saying, I love you. And mothers are a link to God, a child's first impression of God's love. Mothers are all these things and much, much more. This is just the role of mothers. And I think it's interesting to note that in Titus chapter 2 and verse 4, we actually talked about this in our Desiring a Noble Task today. But in Titus chapter 2 and verse 4, there it instructs the older women to teach the younger women to love their husbands and to love their children. Now, if we just look at it on the surface, we might go, okay, that's that God love. It's not. It's the phileo, or the root word is the phileo love, meaning that kind affection, that brotherly love And I think what God is saying through Paul is moms sort of have a little bit better feel or a little bit better idea of agape love than fathers do. They're providing for the needs of their children already. But sometimes they need to be able to be taught how to affectionately love them. Motherhood is never about self, but elevating the needs of others above your own. And we see this mother shows humility as she bows before Jesus. As she bows before Jesus and says, "Lord, help me." Here are his words. "It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." If that was the answer to your plea, how would you feel? How would you react? We on the surface can look at it and go, "Wow, that was harsh, Jesus. Why would you say something like that to this woman who is needing you?" But he's testing her. Those were common terms of the day. Jews called the Gentiles dogs. And what Jesus is showing is there is a distinction between Jew and Gentile here. And that Jesus' mission was to come not to the Gentiles, but to the Jews. Certainly from the Jews, the kingdom of God would spread to all mankind. It's interesting, some scholars have noted that he uses the word, though, that we might use for puppy or a dog that we would have in the home, not a dog out on the street. But I want you to see what she didn't do. Here is this woman who is showing humility. She didn't get upset and leave. She didn't say, "How dare you say that to me? You're not worth it. I'm leaving." She didn't respond with an insult. The Jews called the Gentiles dogs. I imagine that the Gentiles probably had some choice words for the Jews as well. She didn't say that. What she does do is she shows her faith. She responds in faith. She acknowledges her status, but she asks for grace. She says, "Yes, Lord, but even the dogs feed on the crumbs which fall from the master's table." As one man put it, this is what she says: "True, Lord, I have no claim on you. I'm just a Gentile. But there must be some extra grace. Some grace I don't deserve. I'm appealing to you for that." From that statement, Jesus acknowledges her great faith. It was her faith that triumphed over all of these difficulties that she has come through. She believed that he had the power to heal, to save her daughter. And because of her faith, Jesus asked, or did what she asked. The gospel accounts do not record any Jew ever being told that by Jesus. But here's a Gentile woman. Jesus says, "Great is your faith." She goes from an unknown mother to a woman who is known throughout history by what she did for her daughter. She is a mother of courage, determination, love that brings empathy and humility. She is a mother of faith. What I would like to do right now is I'd like to ask for all the mothers in the audience to just please stand. If you can, if you're holding on to a little one, that's okay. But if you can, I'd like for you to please stand. And what I'd like to do right now is to go to God on your behalf. Let's pray. God Almighty, we as your children come before you. And right now we come and we lift up these mothers. Father, first let me say thank you for giving us mothers. Thank you for the way in which that you have made them. Thank you for the way in which they love us. Thank you for the way in which they truly are our first impression of your love. Father, as we have these mothers here who are guiding and strengthening the next generation, Father, I pray for them. I would ask that you would please have your hand upon everyone, to strengthen them, to be able to handle just the everyday things of life, to be with them, to know when all the things seem to be failing around them, that it's okay, that while moms are super, they can't do it all sometimes, and that's okay. But Father, I pray that you would please give these mothers an added measure of patience as they deal with their children, both young and old. And may all of us see such a reflection of you as we look to our mothers. We lift them up to you this morning, Father. Please hear our prayer as we pray it through Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Moms, please be seated. I would like to bring this full circle now, because as we honor mothers today, we live in a broken world. And there are many people who may not have had a mother with the virtues of the woman that we talked about today. But what I want you to understand is that doesn't mean that those virtues haven't been displayed for you. As we think about the virtues of a mother, where do they come from? They come from our Creator. You see, it's our Creator who made mommies soft. It is our Creator. But while we think of Him as our Father, He possesses those virtues. And He has displayed those virtues to the world. You see, while we're not dealing with a demon possessing our bodies, we're dealing with something much greater. Something that causes much more suffering and pain. Something that has no physical cure. We're dealing with sin. And God has a plan. His plan was to send His Son to die for us so that we might be saved. And in that, what I want you to see is all of these virtues are displayed, are poured out for you. I want you to see His courage. His courage for you as Jesus, in His humanity there in the garden, is struggling with the cross. He doesn't want to go through it. But He gains mental and moral strength to persevere and withstand the horrors of the cross for you.
see his determination.
As he is being tempted by Satan there in the wilderness, Satan says, I'll give you all the kingdoms of this world. Just kneel down and worship me. That would mean that Jesus wouldn't have to go through the cross. But Jesus was determined. Think about that. Jesus could have called 10,000 angels to come and destroy the world. But he was determined to die for you. See his empathy. As he came and lived as you live, he experienced everything you experience, even becoming your sin, so that you could become the righteousness of God in Christ. He did all of that so that he could be your intercessor. So that he would go between you and the Father and say, Father, I know what they're going through. Please help them. Please forgive them. See his humility in all that he gave up for you. He made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. See his love for you, that he put your need to not be separated from the Father above his own, so that he was separated and not you. And see not his faith, but his faithfulness. As he is risen from the dead, now as King of Kings, the one who says, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. You see, this is what our God has done for us so that we might be his children. Are you bowed this morning? God does this and much more because he loves you. He sent us mothers so that we can know the love that he has for us. Do you have that? Do you know that you have his love for all eternity? If not, why not make your life right today and to be baptized into Jesus Christ, to become the child of God and experience all that God has for you? If we can help you in any way, won't you come as together we stand and sing?